Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stomp the Movie, I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies, we make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm here with Jack Estabrook again.
Hi!
Cody Wolf, I didn't know you were going to do a catchphrase from this movie.
No, I wasn't. You were expecting that, so I decided to be honest.
Okay, Cody Wolf.
I'm receiving this podcast from the fillings in my teeth.
That's right. And back again, Nick Neward.
Hello!
Yes, Brian Muir out of town. And Andy Wolf off to the Nut House. So
stops a movie auxiliary team called in.
That's right. Needed an assist.
West Coast stopped the podcast. West Coast stopped the movie.
Justice League Incorporated, or Justice League of what's it? Justice League of America.
Justice League. I'll be the Blue Beetle of.
There we go. Okay.
This is all over my head. I don't know.
You're probably better off for it.
Yeah, you're probably better for it. If we even try to get into the problems with the different X-Men teams, we would all of our heads would blow up. Our movie this week is
Great Lakes Avengers.
1986's what? Critters. I think it's 1986.
Yeah. 86, 87.
Okay.
It was 86.
Definitely 80s.
Yeah. I'm going to say this movie's just ridiculously fun, except
I didn't have that much fun with it.
I thought it was just
weird. Bear in mind, I watched Man of Steel. That was the last movie I saw before.
So this is like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. It was.
I had some fun with it. I think I'm in between everybody.
Well, I think there's more potential. I think this movie should have been more off the wall.
Yeah, it's kind of a horror, just to set the table a little bit for what this movie is. It's like a little bit of a horror comedy mix, which the director and a lot of people associated with the movie love to tell people that the script was written before Gremlins, but there is no question that this movie was greenlit and probably retrofitted once Gremlins was a big hit.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's you can't say that Gremlins wasn't an influence on this movie.
And strong Gremlins vibe.
But it's like a horror comedy, but like the horror is a little odd and the comedy is a little...
I don't even know if I call horror. It's like more sci-fi comedy.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't say horror.
Yeah, maybe more sci-fi comedy.
Yeah, it was a little weak on the scares and a little...
Well, felt like it was trying to... Like it was supposed to be like almost like a kid's movie, like Mac and Me kind of thing. But then there's
stuff
swearing and
F-bombs.
There's some blood and some scary. Yeah,
you get a
right, but when your protagonist is a kid, I mean, and you're really marketed towards, especially in the 80s.
Your two other heroes are these bounty hunters that just destroy every building they walk into.
Like Superman.
That's right. Yeah,
I'd say they're more heroic than Superman.
By the end of the movie, they are.
And I'm trying to think. I'm actually, I think, missing a page in my notes here.
No, it's a very short, simplistic movie.
Yeah, I mean, so maybe actually somebody can start us off.
Well, the opening of the film is kind of. I always tell Cody, and Cody mentions this a lot. Whenever you see the planet Earth as the opening shot of a movie, it's bad. Well, this movie doesn't even go planet Earth. It goes some random asteroid in the middle of space.
Sector 17 prison planet.
Yep.
Yes.
And there's this weird-looking alien thing in, like, a hover chair, and apparently these aliens called the Krites have escaped from their cells and have hijacked a spaceship and have left.
Yes.
And these Krites are going to be the critters that are going to be terrorizing this small Midwestern town on Earth. And because it happens to be where they crash land.
They're on
the aliens always landing in Kansas.
Always. Kansas. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And on this prison planet, they also have bounty hunters already on the planet. So the critters break out, and immediately the people are like, hey, bounty hunters, after them. Like they're almost. It took me a second to figure this out. I'm like, oh, okay. So
like, it would have made more sense there were the guards, but these things have like green glowing faces that can like shift into any face they want.
There was a very cool practical effect.
Absolutely.
And I will say the space shots were it was like the beginning of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah.
Like it was literally that level special effect.
Because but seeing that's kind of charming, you know. I really like that.
No,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
It had a little spookies to it where there were some effects that were really good and then some other stuff where you're like, "Ooh, that's really
I think the guys who did the effects, I think are the guys who did Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, okay. the Chiodo Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they directed that one. I think they did the effects for this one.
And we should say too is the bounty hunters head to Earth. They get this like little montage of Earth culture that comes across their faces.
Like they're intercepting TV transmissions or something.
And they're
like
getting
the fifth
like
element where they're just Yeah. Through the history of Earth.
Like a crash course, yeah. And like, here's all these earthy things, which was kind of random, and I was going to make fun of it. Then I'm like, I don't know, like, whatever. Okay, they're showing you a ton of pop culture things. And the bounty hunter settles on...
Johnny Steele,
the most night. 80s of 80s like rock acts with hair.
Yep.
And... So the bounty hunter then makes himself...
They sit through the entire music video.
Everything else is a quick half second. Ooh, wait, stop here.
Including the mother. Like, we'll get to the family in Kansas in a bit, but the mother who is sitting there reading a book and looking up and watching this music video, and none of her kids are in the room, and then she looks down and she looks up, and she's still watching the music video. And then when the TV signal gets cut out, she's upset that the music video is stopped, even though she's reading a book.
Johnny Steele, man.
Well, I feel like they had that actor actually do this song, and they were they like, did. Hey, I did this song. We're putting it in. Like, you're not cutting away from this. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the bounty hunter makes himself look like Johnny Steele, rock star.
Yeah.
And I just to cut forward a little bit, that really goes nowhere. Like, not he really. Didn't yeah, need it's... to be a, like... Like
the kid recognizes.
There's only
as such
one
later.
Point in the movie where, like at the very end of the movie, the kid goes, "Hey, you're Johnny Steele," and that's it. Like it's never. Like he could have been Johnny Steele rock star, or he could have just been like Johnny Steele like landscaper. Like it didn't.
Yeah.
It never comes back, which really frustrated me because I'm like, oh, this is gonna have to come back in some kind of weird way. Like maybe, something's yeah, gonna.
Like maybe the cops like Johnny Steele was just like terrorizing the bowling alley. Yeah, Johnny Steele. What?
I thought there'd be more jokes like that. Like, hey, he's Johnny Steele. Are you Johnny Steele?
But
you
know, it's always like, there's only the one some the stranger.
Yeah. Okay, so now we also get introduced to this Earth family.
Yes. Like meanwhile, this jailbreak occurs in space, and now we're on Earth in Kansas.
And it's very, like, the thing I realized from the beginning is, and I know the director, Stephen Herrick, is always like, no, we were written before Gremlins. This is clearly aping, like, Steven Spielberg, Amblin style. Right, like, the score feels like a Spielberg score from
like
the
mid-80s. I like all the references, too, to, like, the 80s sci-fi movies. Like, the cat's name is Chewie.
Yep. There's an E.T. toy.
Yeah, the E.T. toy. The woman's reading a article, like, Mr. Spock is the father of my child or something. And the logo on the guy's back is, like, the
Ghostbusters logo.
They love that joke. Yeah. The dad's bowling shirt is, like, a bowling pin with, like, the Ghostbusters, like, cross through. And they, not only do they make this joke, but they, like, actually start a scene with a close-up on
which
so it's like,
I'm glad they did because the crappy version I was watching I kept thinking like is that just the Ghostbusters well, like why is he wearing a Ghostbusters
I missed the initial shot of it and you've got to realize I am a huge Ghostbusters fan so missing that first shot like every time I saw it because it would always just be you know him turning the whole time I'm like is that supposed to be the Ghostbusters logo? Am I just such a fan? Like, I'm seeing it places now. What's going on here?
Yeah.
And then later, when he's talking to somebody else on the team, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It almost should have had like a subtitle under it that was like, get it. You know? Like,
But yeah, I did like that the mother was played by Dee Wallace, so.
Yes.
She looks really, really good in this.
Yeah.
And it like I had to do the quick math. I'm like, wow, it was only 10 years later that she was in The Frighteners looking like a grandmother.
Right.
Wow, like that's, you know, this is like a very young looking Dee Wallace. Yeah. Also, like, you know, she's in a Spielberg movie, right? Isn't she? Or no? Am I thinking of something
she's
else?
An E.T.?
She's an E.T. Yeah.
She's
the mother in E.T.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought you were making a joke.
Well, I actually, you know, it's funny. We can get into this. I don't like E.T. very much. I didn't like it when I was a kid.
Don't like E.T.
I don't like E.T.
I'm with Alex.
I can understand if he was talking about the Atari game, but it's E.T.
I'm kind of with Alex on this.
I love that movie.
My parents like to tell
the
story.
Man of Steel also.
No. E.T. is on a much higher level.
Well, yes, but
we went to go see E.T. when we were kids, and my parents like tell the story that they were going to go back. Like my sisters wanted to see it again. They're like, and I was like movie. I was a movie obsessed kid and a Spielberg obsessed kid, you know, because I was like probably 9 when it came out, so I'm like right in its, you know, target audience. Mm-hmm. And I said to my parents, I'm like, no, I'm good. I saw it I didn't want to see it again. I was like, it was fine.
Is
that why you enjoyed Mac and Me so much?
It is. Mac, I even at that point I knew there's a superior version of this coming out.
No way.
This is just a bad precursor.
No way. E.T. Man of Steel hate is understandable. E.T. hate I have literally never heard before in my life.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, that's good, though. You're a film critic. You have to have these controversial choices.
I recognize that other people love it, you know. I will say I took a class on Spielberg when I was in college, and Spielberg has said he's actually surprised that E.T. is as popular as it is, and said he really is genuinely not sure why people like it so much, because it's an odd movie.
I don't know. I thought it was touching. I thought it was cool. I loved it as a child. Anyway, we're off track here.
Anyway, so back to this terrible movie.
I am crushed. My heart is dying.
In this farmhouse, you've got Dad. He's a farmer.
Which way? The Dad, too. Have you ever seen Troll 2?
No.
Have you seen Troll 2?
I have. He reminds me so much of the father in Troll 2.
I kept thinking of the father in Troll 2 because he's the same kind of look and the same kind of... He's a better actor, but the same kind of inflection and stuff. I just kept thinking of that guy.
He gives a weird performance, and I kept thinking he was going to die. I kept thinking they were setting him up to die, and several times in the movie I was like, oh, this is his death scene.
You get a sense that he plays up the tough dad thing, but he's a softy at heart, you know. He's like, you know, a likable dad, you know, and he's just kind of, okay, this kid's going to watch his dad die.
I kept thinking, well, then there's a teenagey, like, kind of looks like he's like maybe 12, 13 year old son.
Probably.
Yeah. And then his sister, like, whose 16, age 17. Is, I thought she might have been in college from the way they were. I don't know. Age indeterminate sister.
You can tell
me anything from 16 to 23.
The kids were older than the relationship between the two that they were portraying, because they were portraying like snot-nosed 10 year old kid bothering 13 year old sister when it was really 12 or 13 year old son. This girl could be 16, 17, 18 years old. Their relationship just seemed a little bit weird. Like, they were acting younger than the actors were.
When one of the arcs it tries to build in is this, like, sort of sibling fighting, and which kind of doesn't go anywhere. They, like, establish that very heavily in, like, the first couple minutes of the movie. It goes away for the bulk of the movie, and then, like, comes back with a resolution at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Kind of, it was a classic, like... you know, callback, like distant callback kind of stuff. Like, yeah, remember this arc?
Yeah.
This is going on. Okay, so, and this, the daughter brings in Billy Zane as her boyfriend.
Who's awesome. And it's Billy Zane with a rat tail. Yeah. He's got like the 80s hair going, and she's brought him home on a date and to meet the parents.
Yep.
So maybe she is in college. Maybe she met him in college. I don't know.
But anyway, she
brings him home.
Because he's from New York, too, isn't he?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
She brings him home to mama, basically, and the kid is hanging out with a farmhand who is supposed to be, like, maybe a little slow.
Oh, boy. Charlie, the farmhand.
The Charlie, the farmhand character, yes.
Who we will be talking quite a bit about, and some of the confusion about this. And before we go too far, I do want to say, Critters is, like, a cult favorite movie. It has a huge fan base. Right. There's a lot of people too. And seeing it, I can kind of see why.
Ridiculous.
This is a little like They Live, almost in the sense of, like, I get why people like it, but there's also a lot going on here that needs to be talked about.
Sure.
Both of those things can be true. But for people who are hardcore Critters fans, like, they're absolutely out there. I was on some Critters websites yesterday doing research for
this. Both of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw like a 45-minute interview with the guy who played Charlie and Dee Wallace at a convention.
Dee Wallace's convention for Critters?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah,
I need tickets to one of those.
Yeah. So, okay,
CritterCon 2015.
CritCon.
So Billy Zane's meeting the parents, and it plays against type, because I thought, like, oh, the Billy Zane character, he's going to be like a jerk. No, he's actually like a really good guy.
Yeah, that's what I say. I kind of like the character because he was like, she's like trying to like get him to, and he's like, oh,
Billy Zane, consummate gentleman.
He is. He's really nice to the mom. He's complimenting her cooking, and then
trying to fight off the advances of the daughter.
Yeah, the daughter's like, hey, take me for a ride. He's like, we're going for a ride, and her dad's like, I thought you were gonna come to my bowling game. And Billy Zane's like, hey, I would like to go to your bowling match.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know. Yeah, very, very good guy.
Well, something has occurred where the boy has been sent to his room because Charlie hit the sister with a slingshot, and then when the dad turned around, the boy was holding the slingshot, so now he's going to go to bed without supper, which goes to the scene where his dad comes upstairs and gives him his dinner anyway. And
yeah, we need to have a Charlie. Charlie, who appears to work for this family, though we never at really any point in the movie see him doing any work.
Yes.
Instead of helping the family, yeah. He's playing with fireworks.
Oh, yeah. Blowing stuff up. Shots, yep.
Hitting the daughter with a slingshot.
And then letting the kid take the heat for it.
Yeah.
To be fair, he accidentally hit the daughter. He was trying to hit a can that was on a fence post.
I guess what, the sight was off on it or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. He didn't have a laser realized, sight.
Yeah, this creepy older guy.
Yeah.
Probably going to get in a lot more trouble than he deserves if my dad thinks he hit the sister. So.
Yeah, yeah.
He's also a drunk and he receives transmissions in his teeth from aliens.
That's true. When we first introduce him, he's like Otis in Mayberry. He's like sleeping in an open jail cell, and he's like, I hear it in my fillings. I hear it in my fillings. And the sheriff's like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Sheriff played by M. Emmett Wallace.
Yeah. Yes.
Everything better.
Yes. Absolutely.
Is Charlie hearing alien transmissions in his fillings?
I don't think so.
Because at first I thought he was, but then later in the movie, I'm like, no, I don't think he is.
What did he say in that interview?
Because when the aliens are actually around, he never says anything about the transmissions.
And you could make a whole argument for the Charlie character doesn't even need to be in this movie. And Charlie is like the ice cream man.
He does have the Molotov cocktail on him later on.
We will talk about that. That is insanity.
I like the fact you brought up Phantasm.
He's really the only character who's in all three of the Critters sequels. Is Charlie. So he's really as Charlie.
The bounty, really?
So he's kind of like the Michael Gross of the Tremors movies.
Well, I was going to say we're the ice cream man of the Phantasm movies.
Yeah.
You know, But he really does not need to be in this movie, and in fact, his appearance in this movie tends to make things more confusing.
I did like the character, though.
They don't use him well.
They don't.
Yeah, yeah. There's some missed opportunity, and this entire second chunk of the film is actually very, very slow.
Oh, extremely slow. Yeah. So the critters land, because part of the problem with this movie is you kind of have three storylines. You have the critters, you have the farmhouse family, and you have the bounty hunters. Mm-hmm. And rarely do those things come together at any point.
Yeah, not until the end.
I'm trying to think of how things, at some point.
Well, the critters.
Well, so the critters land and
They attack a sheriff's deputy.
He's killed.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
Presumably.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
At the same time. Okay. So the father and the son go out to they see the ship crash land.
Yes.
So they go out to see where the meteorite landed.
That's what they think it is. Yeah.
They think it is.
So they go out there and they see one of the critters and they run back to the house. And at the same time, the daughter is still up. She's like in the barn.
She took Billy Zane to the barn. He thinks they're going for a drive.
That needs to be a euphemism for.
I'm going to take Billy Zane to the barn.
Yeah, and Billy Zane is, again, more of a gentleman. Yeah, he's like, I don't know about this.
Your dad could walk in on us. And
so they're in the barn fooling around or whatever, and Billy Zane gets attacked by.
Poor Billy Zane.
By a critter. And he bites his fingers off and then.
Kills him.
Just kills him.
Well, like bites his junk off, doesn't he? He goes right for the crotch, doesn't he?
I was watching this on YouTube. It was a little dark. I'm not sure. But maybe.
They basically kill him. at the same time, I think the father's fighting him off in the basement, fighting off critters, and they're biting him and shooting.
I assumed, by the way, the father was dead here. The father gets bitten like three times by
neck,
critters.
His neck was being chewed off by a critter, and I was like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
That would have been more dramatically powerful, I guess.
Yeah.
They fight him off, and they run into the house, and the daughter runs into the house or something.
And these critters are like, they're basically like if you mixed a gremlin and a hedgehog.
With a Furby.
You would get what a critter is. They can roll around in a ball.
I thought that was funny, like... to save on any like running, like puppeteering. It was, let's just roll a ball, a furry ball down the hall, and that's it moving. Whatever. Right.
I think it works though, because it kind of bounces around wildly. It's just kind of bizarre. It was I like lazy. It.
Really angry tribble.
Yes, a tribble. Yes, and the like the work on them looks varies greatly shot to shot. There are some shots where they look pretty good, uh-huh. and some shots where they do not look good at all. Yeah. They look very monster dog esque.
Yeah, yeah.
And okay, so now you've got. I think the dad tries to use a phone. The phone is out.
Yeah, they've cut the power. The
phone is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, they cut the power to the phone off. Yeah. And at the same time, the bounty hunters have... One of them has taken the form of the sheriff's deputy who's killed, and they take the cop car, and they're driving the cop car around now.
Yes. And then they go to the bowling alley.
Well, no, first they crash into the church.
Oh, that's right. And then they're looking for, they're asking people, they're grilling the preacher for information. And then when the preacher won't talk, because he has no idea what they're talking about, the one guy who's not the rock star shapeshifts into the preacher as everyone's watching. They all get scared.
Yeah.
Do they shoot the place up? Or they just kind of kick over some stuff and then they leave.
These bounty hunters are jerks, but... Well, they're very ineffective.
Yeah.
Like, they don't... Like, why did they crash a car into a church? They basically...
Well, they can't drive, that's why.
I guess it's true, yeah.
You know, it never really says, like, why they're at the church or why...
They're just looking for the... I think they're just kind of...
We're the Kreitz.
They're just looking everywhere. It's
like such a random...
Yeah. I just think they're looking everywhere for the Kreitz.
And at the same time, where they're...
At the same time, freaking everybody out.
Maybe they think the people are hiding them.
Like, they're trying to look like they're, like, human, so they're in disguise, but then draw so much attention to themselves.
By shooting up the town.
Yeah. And we should... One of my other favorite scenes, and this was very spookies, the kid gets one of the critters, throws, like, a firework... into the critter's mouth, or the critter eats a firework, or somehow it eats one, and I'm like, oh, we're gonna see a critter blow up, and it eats it, and then it doesn't blow up, and I'm like, oh, the critter can be fine. Oh, the critter's not dead. They do neither. The critter dies, but just by falling over, which screams to me that the props department was like, you can't blow up one of these. These are too valuable. We need them.
We have four of these.
Yeah.
We can't blow it up.
So it just dies. There isn't even like smoke coming out of it. I don't think. It just like falls over.
I thought it belched and smoke came out and then he fell over.
Oh, maybe that's something it. Something like that. Yeah.
So yeah, basically everything that's going on in the house is just them fighting off critters.
It's kind of like a Night of the Living Dead type situation where they're boarded up in the house and some of them are going like stir crazy and they've got the shotgun and they can't call for help and the critters are outside trying to get in. And at one point, it's kind of funny is that one of them gets shot. And then they subtitle. He's like, "Ah, fuck! They got weapons." Yeah.
That actually got the biggest laugh.
I thought that was hilarious. They actually talk and they're subtitled.
Yeah, I think that was. I almost feel like that was added in post because they were like, "Oh, we need more jokes." Yeah. And I think they like because they literally subtitle in a joke.
Yeah.
You know, like that the critters speak.
Yeah.
And the critters do like weird things. Like they're very ineffective at times, and then super effective hunters at other times. Like they eat the inside of a car, so the family can't leave.
Right.
But seem unable, even though there's tons of critters, to like corner the family at any point, or just eat through a wall and be like, "Oh yeah, we've got you now."
So then at around here, the bounty hunters go to the bowling alley.
Yes.
And they. Shoot up the place.
Well, he picks up the bowling ball like it's very light, and the Johnny Steele one or whatever, and then he throws it towards the pins, and the pins all explode. Yeah. And then they walk into a different part of the. There's like a bar area with a pool table, and they start roughing the place up. And the guy changes into the Charlie character because Charlie's at the bar, saying, "I swear, there's aliens. I can read it in my fillings. I can hear it or whatever." He's trying to convince the bartender. The bartender's like, "Yeah, you're crazy." And then you know the joke. These two big guys with ray guns come in. They rough the place up a bit. The one guy disguises himself as Charlie, and then they leave.
Also, it appears that no one from the church called the police or did anything. Like, two guys in a car...
They did, but the sheriff was just sleeping.
Oh, okay.
And she couldn't get hold of the other guy because he's dead.
Oh, okay.
And she thought that maybe he was snubbing her because he asked her out on a date and she wouldn't go.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And then they're like, "You won't believe it. The Reverend? No, I mean Charlie and some strange guy, instead of using the joke, the rock star Johnny Steele," which they didn't, just... shut up the bowling alley? And the cop's like, "You mean the because the cops went to, the sheriff went to the church. You mean the reverend, and then he kind of looks over, and the reverend's standing right next to him.
Yeah, but at no point does he ask, like, the reverend, like, hey, did you shoot up the building?
good point.
He just leaves him there. He's
the
like,
most basic of investigative
He just leaves him there.
Yeah,
true.
But so... I'm trying to think of where...
Well, now the kid because
there's also reports of shots fired out at the Brown Farm or whatever it is. The family's house.
Yeah.
So he decides to go check that out, I think, instead of the bowling alley.
Which has been shot up.
Yeah.
You know, and like there may be dead people there. Right. But yeah, what, you know, sure.
So he goes out to the house.
And at the same time, the son is plotting a bike escape. Because they know the car is out. So the kid, you know, and the dad has been chewed up at this point multiple times by critters, should be dead.
Well, he got, it's funny too, because he gets attacked again, and in the same exact spot, he gets bitten again.
Yeah.
And he would have let out by
and
now.
I just wanted to yell, like, oh, the same spot.
Yeah. It's so tender already.
We only have enough money for one blood stain.
Oh, come on.
This is getting ridiculous.
And they start building this storyline of that the kid and his sister are getting along again. And I just have notes being like, really? Like, this is the storyline you want us to care about?
Yeah.
And nobody cares that Billy Zane is dead.
No character
in this movie ever mourns Billy Zane.
Yeah, it's like he's...
Well, at the end of the movie, his body is still in the barn.
Well, because...
It's the next day. The father's going to wake up. All right, well, that's all been taken care of. Holy crap! What? Jesus!
It's like the house is all back to normal. No, everyone's happy. And I even said it out loud. I said, meanwhile, they cut to a shot of Billy Zane and there's like flies.
Maybe he got pieced back together.
I don't think anybody even asks about Billy Zane. I don't think anybody asks.
He's like the nicest guy in the whole movie. And he just gets he gets eaten by critters and that's it.
Yeah.
So Emmett Walsh goes out to the house.
Yep.
And I think at the same around the same time the bounty hunter, the kid goes out. That's right. The kid goes out on his bicycle.
Yep.
And he runs into, of course, the aliens, the aliens. Bounty hunters.
Yep.
And he realizes that they're looking for. This is where he says, like, "Oh, you're Johnny Steele. What are you doing here?" And that was like the only Johnny Steele line in the movie.
Charlie? Yeah. Johnny Steele? Wait a minute. You're not Charlie.
The kid is Johnny Steele.
Take me to the Kreitz. Yeah.
So he...
The Kreitz? And then the other guy says, Critters. And I was like, oh, we have a title, ladies and gentlemen.
So the he realizes that they're looking for the critters. And he's like, oh, well, they're eating my family right now. So if you want to go stop them, I'll help you if you help me.
Yeah.
So he takes them back to the house.
Yes.
And that's okay. So they get there first because they go into the house and they start just shooting up the house, blowing up everything.
Yeah.
And that's when the sheriff gets there and he's like, oh, everything's like the house is destroyed and there's shots fired inside. And so he goes inside the house and, I'm trying to think about this. This is all
he goes inside. It's weird. Like,
he's shooting critters. They're shooting critters.
He's trying to shoot critters. There's critters. There's critters running around. And somewhere in here, we also get a very long joke of a critter eating an E.T. doll.
Yeah.
And that plays, like, is paced so badly and is so on the nose. If this had been a throwaway, like a quick, like, bang, gang, I would have been like, oh, that's funny. But it's, again, like the Ghostbusters bowling pin shirt. Like, they have to be like, get it, you know? And so they're shooting up the house. The sheriff is shooting up the house. Basically, the critters kidnap the sister. And her brother is, like, goes after the critters on his bicycle, even though there's multiple cars there. He goes after them on the bicycle. The sheriff... I don't even know
what
he does.
The sheriff's just, like, freaked out at this point.
Yeah, he's just kind of, like, hunkered down behind his car, like, what's going on? Yeah.
And then the bounty hunters have the classic movie thing of having trouble starting their car, but it does eventually start.
Oh, no, they get into the other cop car.
Oh, they get the other cop car,
which I thought was a funny shot.
Everyone's crammed into the one.
Because I thought it was a funny shot because the parents are in the back. I think the sister's back there, too. And the sheriff's up front, and he's just, like, totally out of it. He's, like, just wild-eyed, like, I have no idea what's going on. And the bounty hunters get out, and one of them gets in the passenger seat. The other one opens the driver's seat door and, like, pushes the sheriff into the middle and sits down and starts the car.
That's right. Yeah. So they're going after them. the brother gets to the critter's alien spaceship. He climbs in.
He's got a firecracker.
Yeah, he's
basically a stick of dynamite.
Yeah, it's
yeah. Like this yeah. was this was a little
the firecracker.
Yeah, it's like it's nothing.
This I had some issues with too, but he's able to sneak his sister out.
And Charlie's
out.
With him too. He's met up with Charlie at this point.
Yeah, who Charlie is now trying to do some comic relief as the straight man in this. At a strange point in the movie to be throwing Abbott and Costello esque comic relief in.
Yeah.
He pulls his sister out, and he throws his firecracker in, but it's not lit or something.
Yeah, he couldn't get it lit.
Okay.
So they're like, "Oh, let's get out of here. Let's run." And then that's when.
So Charlie pulls a Molotov cocktail out of his pocket.
Well, he had the whiskey anyway, so he just shoves a rag in there. Give me your fire.
That's a line. Your lighter. Yeah, that's a line.
Give me your fire.
It stuck out with me. Fire?
What? It was the caveman terminology comes in.
Yeah.
They throw the Molotov cocktail into the critter ship right before it takes off.
Yeah.
The critters do take off.
And they blow the freaking crap out of their house.
They blow up their house in a pretty cool effect, say. That, this movie cost $2 million, and I'm that had to have been $200,000 to do that shot.
Yeah. They just blow the house just to smithereens, and they fly away, and that's when
the
firecracker explodes.
Makes the entire ship go away.
Yes.
Yes. No more ship.
Yeah. Not before one of the critters turns around and goes, uh-oh.
Yeah. Of course.
And then the ship explodes.
So everyone except for Billy Zane is alive.
Well, because at the end of the movie, it's the bounty hunters, the kid's I didn't get a chance to thank you, and they just kind of pull this little communicator off of their belts and say, whatever you need is coldest, kid, we respect you or whatever.
Did they have an accent like that?
The one guy was a little British, give us the crites. He sounded British, so, Australian.
I didn't notice
it. Wasn't that Crocodile Dundee?
No. I'm obviously doing more.
You did Dundee it up a little bit.
I did, a little bit.
There was a little...
You call that a knife.
But there was a little something to it.
I've got a critter in my pants, I'll show you.
All right, now
it's like Andy's still here.
Yeah, now you Steve Irwin'd it. All right.
It's a beauty.
So he gives this kid this communicator electronic thing. Communicator.
And then the Charlie character is following them away. Oh, do you get one of those for me? Huh? Hey, can you show me your spaceship? This horrible attempt at comedy at the end of the movie. And then their house, which is in tatters, comes not back tatters. Together. In this weird reverse photography.
Is the communicator?
I kind of looked away for a second, but
it beeps. Yep.
So he pushes a button.
He pushed a button.
And then the house just forms back together.
Okay, the house Mary Poppins, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, does.
All right.
Rebuilds itself.
And we should say, going throughout the movie, I don't know why they did that. Going throughout the movie, there's a whole running subplot of the family cat who keeps showing up.
Chewy.
And Chewy keeps showing up and escaping from critters. People are honestly way more concerned about this cat than Billy Zane.
Yeah.
And the cat is okay. The house is repaired. They open the mailbox. I laughed for about 30 seconds because it made me think of End of Days when they open the refrigerator and the cat jumps out. They open the mailbox and the cat jumps out.
Yep.
Then there's a moment where M. Emmett Walsh is just sort of what are you gonna do? He just has a weird look on his face and drives off.
Yeah. I'm gonna go drink now.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we find out there are critter eggs somewhere
in the barn.
Chicken coop.
In the chicken coop.
It would have been funnier if that end scene where the camera pans over to the eggs instead of it pans over to Billy Zane and it was just the fly sound effect and then that faded to black. That would have been funnier.
That would have been pretty good.
I'm not sure funny is the right word, but
yeah,
it would have been morbidly
ironic.
Or
if they laid the eggs inside Billy Zane's corpse.
Oh, and then ripped off
popped
alien.
Out. Yeah,
yeah. Well,
I know one of the sequels takes place around Easter time, and they play the eggs theme up more.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna give you a tip. Our So Wrong It's Right is gonna be about an alternate ending that was shot for this movie.
Oh wow.
So we will go into that.
Okay.
Before we go into that, to just talk about, I thought the movie was kind of fun, like really simplistic. Like,
this, oh God, I have, yes. This movie, it's about as simple as it could get.
It could have been 7 minutes long.
Well, we went through it absolutely in like 20-something minutes.
So. Yeah,
I mean, it's an easy one to talk about.
There's nothing that really happens. It's like critters land, bounty hunters land, family. Bounty hunters find critters at family's house, blow them up, ship gets blown up, yeah. Roll credits. Like, there's nothing. Yeah. Yes. But I thought it, because it's clearly somewhat Western influenced. Like, oh, it's like science very fiction, yeah. Western. Like, at one point, like, the bounty hunters actually see, like, a Western on TV, yep. And get mm-hmm. freaked out by it. And I felt like it, and I'm genuinely confused why they didn't go this route. Why they didn't build like a relationship between the kid and the bounty hunters. Like, actually have the bounty hunters be cool.
Right.
Well, and have like the bounty hunter almost be like a Wolverine character.
Yeah, because it's felt
like they...
Or
like
make it kind of like Terminator with the kid in Terminator 2.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
It felt almost like maybe there was other stuff that was shot or originally written for it. Because at the end when they give them that communicator thing, and there's a couple other shots where they seem as warm as they get anyways. Towards the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
well, I spent most of the movie thinking they were the bad guys, but then like halfway through, I'm like, wait a minute, they're trying to get the critters, so they're not the bad guys. Well, even though really... they just crashed down a church and then shot up a bowling alley.
Yeah, but they don't kill anybody, though. They're just kind of jerks.
They're just assholes.
But if they were more like amiable and met the kid earlier on in the movie or something.
I think that this could have actually been more entertaining if it, because it's very Western inspired, if it was like Shane almost, where like, you know, like a hired gun who comes, they're coming in, kind of befriend
come
this
back,
kid.
Johnny Steele.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And it didn't, it just was very confusing to me. Like, again, I'm not.
Johnny Steele.
I'm not going to profess it. Like, you know, I'm a great screenwriter, but it seemed like a pretty clear cut storyline to follow.
Very simple.
Instead, we just get these three parallel storylines that barely that come together.
End, yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Very weird. Very weird. So let's do this week's So Wrong It's Right question.
So wrong,
and
it's right.
There are prizes this week.
Prizes?
I am going to read four endings.
This is pressure now.
One of these was a shot and edited alternate ending for the movie.
Okay.
Okay, in this first one, the house is put back together by the aliens. The family goes back in.
Billy's
making breakfast. Then the daughter hits Charlie with something from a slingshot. She knows what really happened. That's alternate ending one.
You totally sold it with a look on your face, too.
I know, I'm really trying. Alternate ending two, the house is repaired. They're having trouble finding the cat, though. Because the cat is now a critter. Alternate ending number three. The house is not repaired. Everybody from the family just piles into M. Emmett Walsh's car. But there are eggs in the rubble of the house. Alternate ending number four. Charlie's teeth receiving thing, fillings receiving thing, becomes high technology, making him a millionaire, and he buys the family a new house. One of those was the original ending to Critters.
Jesus. All of them would be amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, God. I want to say the cat,
but... Oh, God.
I'm just getting our prizes really ready.
I really want it to be the fourth one.
So do I.
I'm going to go with three.
I'm gonna going go to... four. I'm gonna go with the fourth one. It's the most ridiculous. He buys the house.
I'll go two with the cat being a critter.
Okay, cat is a critter. Jack is going with
fillings.
He buys
the guy a millionaire. And he buys the house.
And Nick,
I'm going with number three. They just drive off with Emmett Walsh.
Seems the most plausible.
Nick, he's the winner. The original ending was the house is just destroyed. They get in a car and drive off, and there's just eggs there. It's really pretty bad. I mean, I'm not even an advocate of this Mary Poppins ending, but it's just like a very like
the life sucks now. Yeah,
yeah. It's just like okay, like. So Nick, we have a game of, are you a Game of Thrones fan?
Yes.
Okay, we have a Game of Thrones figure for you, which is in my other room, unfortunately. Forgot to bring the prize in.
Oh,
got the wrong
bastard.
Prizes into this office.
It's all right.
It's
okay.
Yeah, so we'll do a quick. We kind of already did this, but you know, if it was so bad, it's good. I don't know if this movie is really a so bad, it's good kind of movie. It's just sort of like a fun, cheesy movie. Yeah.
I think it had more potential to be a lot more fun, and it doesn't live up. However, I still have fun watching it. I would watch it again. I mean, it's Critters. I mean,
yeah, it's
It more should have happened in this movie. So it was a letdown in that. Particularly in that second part with the family developing all their characters, nothing's going on. Just do Critters doing Critter stuff. It could have been more fun.
Yeah. Yeah, would you...
It was fine. I mean, I wouldn't say so bad is good, but I wouldn't say it was terrible either. It's something watch. It was on.
Yeah. It has that sort of 80s movie feel to it.
I will say, when the New Line Cinema logo came up at the beginning, it kind of hit this...
Yeah, I forgot.
Thing in me that I was just like,
I forgot that it was done. Yes, New Line and Smart Egg, which did Nightmare on Elm Street. Like Lin Shaye was in it, who's
New Line,
Nightmare on Elm Street, and
And I should say, I looked into what the sequels are a little bit, and I believe in all three of the sequels, the Charlie character is working with the bounty hunters. and spoiler alert, I think in Critters 4. Charlie actually has to kill the Johnny Steele character bounty hunter, although there's some question if it was really Johnny Steele bounty hunter or someone else. So
ooh, that Critters mythos.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil that for all the people who are planning on going out watching Critters 2, 3, and 4. Critters
marathon this Halloween.
Yes. This was an unusual one for us. I don't know. I think maybe I thought this was going to be worse than it was, or maybe I thought it was going to be more goofy fun than it was. It was, you know, it was what it was.
I didn't hate it.
Didn't hate it. That's one for the box cover. I didn't hate it. All right, I think that brings this one to a close. We will do our plug. Well, let's just do our plug. If you're a fan of the show, please give us a review on iTunes. That is very very helpful to us. And we do have older episodes. The episodes that are not available on the iTunes store are at stopthemoviepodcast.podbean.com. Mm-hmm. And that has some classic episodes on there. I think Nick's Star Trek V episode the Star Trek V episode is definitely only available on the website now, which is free. They're available for free, by the way, on our website. And Elektra might be off of the iTunes store now. I think that's probably on the website too, with Nick on that one as well.
Yeah.
It's a forgettable movie.
That is still one of my favorite ones to talk about, though, because it is pure insanity.
Yeah.
A lot of good classic episodes on there. So yeah, review on iTunes and our website, and we will be back next time. A movie we've been building up to it for far too long. The American Idol movie from Justin to Kelly.
American classic.
Starring Kelly Clarkson and Justin Guarini.
Mm-hmm.
They are the lead actors in a movie that is kind of a musical, kind of a romantic comedy, has a bad guy, and a bad guy plot. There's a villainous plot in it. It is a wreck of a movie. You don't want to miss this one. Special guest Katie Carrado will be joining us to try it really is barely even a movie. I've seen it. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet.
I don't want to, but I have to.
It's not even really a story. It's a mess. That will be a good one. So that will be coming up soon, and I think that brings this one to a close.
It does. Oh, don't forget to like the Facebook page, too.
Oh, we're on our Facebook page with funny pictures. Absolutely. I'm hoping Billy Zane will make an appearance on our page.
Absolutely. No way. Yeah, I mean, no way I wouldn't.
Yeah. Wait, no way I
would. There's no way I wouldn't put his picture on the website. He's Billy Zane. Come on.
Interesting use of the double negative. All right.
Yeah. Fair enough. Just like he was playing against type.
There's no way I would not do that any time, ever.
That's right.
Very well said. All right.
Yes.
We'll see everyone back here next time. Thanks.